4, chapter 28. Paranjan becomes a woman in the next life. Text 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Yagna Pashavo Nena. Tam Yagya Pashavo Nena. Samgyapta Yedayaluna. Samgyapta Yedayaluna. Kuttaras Chichudu Kruda. Kuttaras Chichudu Kruda. Smaranto mivan asyatat. Smaranto mivam asyatat. Tam yagna pashavo nena. Sangyapta ye dayaluna. Kutarais chichudu krudha. Smaranto mivam asyatat. Tam yagna pashavo nena. Sangyapta ye dayaluna. Kutarais chichidu krudha. Smaranto mivam asyatat. Samyagna pashavo nena. Samgyapta yedayaluna. Kutarais chichudu krudha. Smaranto mivam asyatat. Samyagya pashavo nena. Samgyapta yedayaluna. Kutarais chichidu krudha. Svaranto mivam asyatat. Samyagya pashavo nena. Samgyapta yedayaluna. Kutarais chichidu krudha. Svaranto mivam asyatat. Nena. Kutarais chichidu krudha. Svaranto mivam asyatat. Ladies? Samgyapta yendra luna. Kutayas chitra kudha. Smaranto miva masyatat. Tam him. Yagna pashavaha. The sacrificial animals. Anena. By him. Samgyapataha, killed, ye, all of them who, adayaluna, by the most unkind, kutarai, by axes, chichudu, pierced to pieces, krudaha, being very angry. Smarantaha, remembering. Amivan, sinful activity. Asya, of him. Tat, that. Translation, the most unkind king, Puranjan, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he were being cut to pieces by axes. Responsibly, please repeat. The most unkind king, Puranjan, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he were being cut to pieces by axes. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Those who are very enthusiastic about killing animals in the name of religion or for food must await similar punishment after death. The word mangsa, meat, indicates that those animals whom we kill will be given an opportunity to kill us. Although in actuality no living entity is killed, the pains of being pierced by the horns of animals will be experienced after death. Not knowing this, rascals unhesitantly go on killing poor animals. So-called human civilization has opened many slaughterhouses for animals in the name of religion or food. Those who are a little religious kill animals in temples, mosques, or synagogues, and those who are more fallen maintain various slaughterhouses. Just as in civilized human society, the law is a life for a life, no living entity can encroach upon another living entity as far as the Supreme Lord is concerned. Everyone should be given freedom to live at the cost of the Supreme Father. In animal killing, either for religion or for food, is always condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text number 19, Lord Krishna says, Tan aham dvishtita kruran sangsareshu naradamam shippam yasjasaram asubhan asurish veva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The animal killers, dvishata, envying other living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are placed in darkness and cannot understand the theme and objective of life. This is further explained in the following verses. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati. What's the rest of it? Tad Kripa Dhambam Deshi Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So, this is a very powerful chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter explains what is the fate of the living entity in the material body. Generally speaking, mundane academics and knowledge will never cover this material. Because of a poor fund of knowledge, they don't understand what is the fate of the living entity. But here we see such detailed information coming from Srimad Bhagavatam as to what will happen at the end of this life. This is a allegorical story told by Narada, but it has such practical importance in each and everyone's life. Why? Because everyone's going to go through it, regardless whether you're rich or poor, educated or not. Everyone must experience these. It's the same for everyone. So Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this particular part of the Bhagavatam about the description of Paranjan, it's a warning for us. We see on one hand what is the fate of the materialist, and Srila Prabhupada is trying to guide us that there's a different fate awaiting devotees. Right? Paranjan is terrified. The Yavanraj, Kalakanya are attacking his city, which means the time factor is attacking the body. One cannot resist the time factor. It's all powerful. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Time I am, the destroyer of all worlds. So just as the universe is annihilated at some point due to the time factor, so the little universes that we've created, my family, my community, my country, due to the time factor, they are also annihilated. Puranjan, he's experiencing this. Right? And similarly, we will all experience it. You know, there's a saying that there's only two things for sure in this world. Right? What is that? Death and taxes. Right? These are the only things for sure. Everything else is up in the air. Right? Death rate, 100%. No one escapes. No one's getting out if you're alive. But yet at the same time, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, no one is killed. Right? What is that? It seems ambiguous. Everyone dies, but no one is killed. Srila Prabhupada says right here. Why? Because the living entity can never be killed. The soul is eternal. Nitya, Shashvatam, Parano. He's eternally existing. And what does death mean? Doesn't mean that the living entity ceases to exist. What it means is the living entity has to change the body. But because the living entity for so long has existed in a particular body, even though the body becomes invalid due to old age, it doesn't work anymore, right? Still the living entity is attached. The mind, the intelligence, they don't want to leave the gross material body that's becoming useless due to old age. So it's described here in the Bhagavatam that, you know, at the time of death, there's a great fever, right? The Vishnu Jvara, heavy temperature. And according to modern science, when the body gets up to about 107 degrees Fahrenheit, the body dies, ceases to function. So at some point, the living entity even goes sometimes into a coma and can't really feel the pains of the gross body due to that coma. But it doesn't mean he stops suffering, because on the subtle platform, he continues to suffer. Okay? The serpent here is described as the superintendent of police, protecting the body, protecting the citizens, the inhabitants. But the subtle body sees that the body, the gross body, that it's been controlling, the senses, right, the organs of action, the objects of the senses, they become for all intents and purposes useless. Right? So the subtle body also begins to suffer. And eventually, due to the influence of the time factor, the soul leaves the body, carried away by the subtle body. Now, what the previous purports in this chapter are explaining is that due to Paranjan's attachment to his family, even though he doesn't know where he's going, that's not his concern. His concern is for what he's leaving behind. Oh, my wife, she'll become, after me, she'll become overburdened by financial responsibilities. How will my children maintain? These are the thoughts that living entity, the overly attached living entity has at the time of death. That's what the Bhagavatam is describing. So this is not good, right? Because, you know, if you're overly attached to material things, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you think of at the time of death, that's what you will attain. So if we're concerned about, Srila Prabhupada describes that a man is attached to his car, is very attached to his car, and he thinks of his car at the time of his death, then he can take birth in that car as a cockroach. You know, sometimes I take the qualis here and there, and I see there's cockroaches running around. And I think, well, who were they in their last life? You know? This is the difficulty about, you know, Prabhupada says somebody, the work struggles very hard and they make a skyscraper building. New York is famous for skyscraper buildings. They have 100 stories, 101 stories, right? In Malaysia, there's a building with 102 stories or something, trying to beat New York with 101, right? Now India also has become infatuated with so many stories, 35, 40, 50 stories. Right? So someone who's made a building like this are so attached that they think of their building at the time of death. And so they come back in the next life as a rat in the same building. Krishna's fulfilling their desires. Right? The advantage of devotional service is that one will not be overly attached. And one will think of Krishna. That's the message in this chapter. Right? Don't be overly concerned with fruitive activities, accumulating wealth. That is not the purpose of the human form of life. The whole modern society is all about money. Sabse badiya rupya. Everything, a man's worth is what? How much money he has. Never mind, he's chore number one, rogue, rascal, cheater. Unke paas bahut paisa hai. Previously it was not like that. A man's worth was whether he was honest, tolerant, kind to others. These things are all out the window. Only consideration if he has money. Modern civilization has ruined the intelligence, has taken away the intelligence of the people in general. And this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give intelligence to people. Srila Prabhupada said that the materialists, their brains are empty. They're filled with gober. No brain substance. Working hard all day, just like an ass. And what is their benefit? A little, you know, two chapatis, three chapatis, four chapatis, a little sex life, that's their only reward. And they criticize the devotees, oh, you're not working. Right? You're parasites, you're living off the society. But no, it's not like that. We're giving the society brain substance. The devotees have transcendental knowledge and they can impart that transcendental knowledge. They share that transcendental knowledge with others and therefore they're benefiting society to the highest degree because everyone in society is going to have to go through this process of death. Therefore, the devotees, giving them the transcendental knowledge so that they don't have to experience it again and again and again and again. That's the highest welfare activity. Only the Bhagavatam, these Vedic literatures, are giving the ultimate goal of life. Even so-called religions, they are not giving the ultimate goal of life. They may be talking about some piety, but that's a very relative thing. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in this animal killing, so animal killing is sinful. Those persons who do it in the synagogue or Prabhupada mentions the church instead of the slaughterhouses, maybe they're a little religious, but they're still fallen. This is not the food meant for human beings. The food for human beings are fruits and vegetables, grains. But even that, Krishna says, is sinful if it's not offered to Krishna. That's also pap. Anybody who prepares food simply for sense gratification What are they eating? Only pop. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, don't go to the restaurants. Right? Don't eat in the restaurants. Sometimes even devotees get caught up in going to restaurants. But you should know, it's only pop. One should eat Krishna prasadam, food that is offered to Krishna. Because one who eats food that is prepared for the pleasure of Krishna, that is transcendental activity. There's no pop in that. And certainly one cannot offer to Krishna meat. He doesn't accept that. So that's not something that the devotees take, because they only eat Krishna prasadam. If we could just get the world to do this, eat Krishna prasadam and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Then we would really have a civilized society. People would be peaceful. People would be happy. But as long as people are engaged in these sinful activities, meat eating, illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling, can never have happiness, can never have peaceful society. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope for humanity. Otherwise, it's doomed. This society is doomed. It's already doomed. Right? I didn't realize that when Srila Prabhupada used to say that this modern civilization is doomed. I used to think, well, it's not doing too bad. A lot of construction work is going on. New highways are coming up. Flyovers. Right? Looks like it's progressing to me, I thought. Right? But now it's much more clear. It really is doomed. Right? The clock is ticking on this society very fast. Things are changing very quickly now. Their whole economic system is a complete failure. Right? Everyone's economy is based on the almighty dollar, but it's not so almighty anymore. Right? It's lost its shine. It's lost its color. But yet it's the base, the greenbacks, so the base of all the world's economy. And it's a failed currency. Prabhupada said before, there's nothing to back it up. It's just printed with green ink and paper. There's nothing there. Right? And what do? They just print more. You get in a bind, you need some money, print it. But what's its value? It has no value. So this economy is a failure. And what is India doing? Simply imitating whatever America does. Lower the interest rates, raise the interest rates, try to adjust for inflation. But the very foundation of it is meaningless. So it will not last. And in the future, we will see those persons who know how to grow food will survive. And the persons who don't know how to grow food, they will not survive. It's as simple as that. Whether it's America, India, anywhere. It's coming to that. The oil-based civilization, everybody in their fancy cars, you have a Mercedes-Benz and you're looking at a Rolls-Royce, that whole civilization is coming to an end now. It was never real anyway. So Srila Prabhupada therefore had warned us about this. This modern civilization is coming to an end, and therefore learn to be able to live off the land. Now we haven't been very successful at doing that. There's not so many examples of self-sufficient farm communities. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do that. And because he knew that this modern civilization is going to fall apart and everyone will come to the self-sufficient farm communities to live. They will exist. They will continue. Everything else will crumble. So many times it's difficult for us to understand this, but we can see it actually beginning to unfold. In the interim, we should warn everyone about the fate of this materialistic civilization. We should warn them not to be caught up in fruitive material activities. As devotees, we should also remind ourselves to not get caught up in the subtle form of fruitive activities. Yes, just because you don't have a job and you wear tilak and you have a kantimala doesn't mean that you're not attached to fruitive activities, because there's the subtle form of fruitive activities also, and that's called duplicitous behavior, kutinati, right? Doing politics, right? A devotee means, even though he sees someone else, another devotee, doing politics, he ignores it. He doesn't retaliate with politics. He retaliates with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Pratistha, another subtle form of fruitive activities, the desire to be honored, the desire to be worshipped, right? This is another subtle pitfall that a devotee has to be very careful of, right? Because it will lead to further degradation, and it will be an obstacle in obtaining the ultimate goal, which is pure chanting. The materialist can never be, the fruitive worker can never be attracted by Krishna, neither Krishna's form, neither Krishna's name. The form and name are one and the same. Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. But the materialist cannot be attracted. Therefore, at the time of death, they only have something material to think about. It is only the devotee of the Lord who is attracted by the form of Krishna, who is attracted by the name of Krishna, will be able to think of Krishna at the time of death. So as devotees, we don't want to be caught. Right? We don't want to be caught either in thinking of wife, family, you know, that's not even there for the devotee. But we also don't want to be caught by the desire for having so many followers. So many people are worshiping me. Mere paas bahut chela hai. Dekho, kitna chela hai. Aaj itna chela hai. Aur bhavishya mein aur chela bhi aayega. Don't get caught like that. We're not after chela. We're after Krishna. We want Krishna. As a service to Krishna, one may bring forward others to Krishna's lotus feet and place them at the feet of Krishna and the previous acharyas. That's okay. That's transcendental. Everything for Krishna, nothing for myself. Whatever it is. Now that's not an easy thing to do. One of the pitfalls for neophyte devotees is women and money. And if we chant with offense, then these attractions will increase. By offensive chanting, the attraction for these things will increase. So one has to be very careful. Devotional service is all powerful. It's very, very powerful. but it has to be executed in the proper way. Then one can expect a result. And what is that result? The result is that one will be able to think of Krishna at the time of death and go back to the spiritual world. And for those, the materialists, Srila Prabhupada clearly explains what will be their end result. Right? Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. So this goes for the gross materialists, but it also goes for the impersonalists. Srila Prabhupada mentions this verse also in relation to the Mayavadis. What happens to them? Right? Because they're actually dvishataha. They're envious. They're envious of Krishna. That is the root cause for everyone's existence in this material world, is due to the envy that's in within the heart. Devotional service means to become free from envy. What was the qualification of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan? They were without any envy. They were envious of no one. Therefore, the dear adir, everyone, the gentlemanly and the persons that were not, they would all come to them because of their pure nature, their non-envious nature. And who are we originally envious of? Srila Prabhupada says that they are envious. That's why they're creating so much pain and suffering for the poor innocent animals due to envy. Right? And that envy of God. We do not have the power or the ability to make a life. And therefore, we also do not have the right to take it. And if you do, it's sinful. So, ridding ourselves of the envy that's there of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the purpose of devotional service. It's so important to associate with devotees, to learn how to become free from envy. Devotees, and only devotees, can help us in this regard. Because devotees will remind us about Krishna. If we hear about Krishna, if we think about Krishna, all the envy that's within the heart can be cleared away, all the dirty things. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exemplifying in the Gundicha Marjana. As a devotee of Krishna, he was showing how one should cleanse the heart of all the unwanted things, all the anartas that are there. The desire for fruitive activities, the desire for material enjoyment, the conception of an impersonalist, the desire for siddhis and yogic powers, all these things are like dirt and dust and should be cleansed out from the heart. Then it will be possible for us to make the heart a fitting place for Krishna to come and take a seat. This is the great advantage of devotional service, the great benefit that we have of coming in contact with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to help us come to this platform. And another interesting point is that jiva hinsa, one should not do hurt, one should not do violence to other living entities. So certainly, you know, if you kill animals, that's jiva hinsa, that's violence to other living entities. But another interesting point that Srila Prabhupada makes is this jiva hinsa category also. Sometimes devotees think Oh, I will go to Vrindavan, I will sit and do bhajan. I will sit and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And just forget everything else. But Srila Prabhupada explains that that is not what a devotee should do, because what a devotee should do is explain to others the precarious position that they're in this material world, and that they should take to devotional service. That's real nonviolence to the living entity. If you don't do that, you're committing violence, because just as Paranjan had to take birth as a woman, so everyone in the material world is headed to take birth again, right? Paranjan performed some pious activities, and therefore he took birth as a woman, right? But what is the result of today's Kali Yuga living entities? They'll be lucky if they take birth as mosquitoes. You know, every time you slap, oh, there goes my uncle. So if we don't wake them up, if we don't, wait a minute, sir, please chant the holy name of Krishna, we're actually doing violence to them. Jiva Hingsa means that we have to preach. We're not qualified anyway to sit in Vrindavan or the holy dhams, right? You can go for some time, as Srila Prabhupada explains, and get spiritually surcharged. But then our real duty is to help others, to convince them to take to the process of devotional service by chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. He'll give you the microphone.
Hare Krishna. I want to ask that when peace, enjoy and happiness is in Krishna's bhakti, prema bhakti, then why all the world is going for money, money, well, 99% for money, money, money?
Because 99%, 99.999% of the world is in Maya. They're an illusion. They don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. They're following the dictates of their senses due to lust and greed, right? The lust and the greed have overtaken the heart. And it's only by coming in contact with Krishna's devotees that they can become cured from this materialistic disease called greed and lust. Just like a person that's overrun with fever, right? If he gets some medicine from the doctor, then he can become cured. He can come to his normal state. So the entire population is suffering from the fever of material existence. And only by this Krishna consciousness movement can they get the medicine by which they can become cured from their materialistic disease.